Welcome back. Today is Sunday, October 7th, 2012. I'm Rena Toby, and you are listening to a presentation of the Sunday Arts and Leisure section of the New York Times, brought to you by Gatewave. Beginning with The First Twist That Made Marble Move by Ken Johnson. Marble yielded like butter in the hands of Gian Lorenzo Bernini, the greatest sculptor of the 17th century Europe. As if responding to a sorcerer's spell, stone became flesh, cloth, fur, and the bark and leaves of trees. In works like Apollo and Daphne, made in 1622-25, and The Ecstasy of St. Teresa from 1645-52, superhumanly beautiful gods, angels, and humans seemed animated from within by a relentlessly striving life force. Everything is in flux, moving swiftly and sometimes violently. Bodies struggle, twisting and turning in different directions. Almost always there seems to be wind blowing hair and beards and causing robes and drapery to undulate in choppy waves. How, pragmatically speaking, did Bernini, who lived from 1598 to 1680, work his magic? That is the question explored by Bernini Sculpting in Clay, an exhibition at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, focusing on that primordial, infinitely plastic material out of which much, if not all, he produced, emerged. The exhibition was organized by Ian Wardropper, director of the Frick Collection, Anthony Siegel, a Harvard Art Museum's conservator, and C.D. Dickerson III, curator of European art at the Kimball Art Museum in Fort Worth. Along with Paolo D'Agostino, a senior research associate at the Met, these experts examined all works in clay believed to be by Bernini and determined that 52 were authentic. 39 of them are on view here, along with related sketchy drawings. So this is an important exhibition, insofar as it establishes a scholarly baseline for the study of Bernini terracotta work. It is not a blockbuster of a show, however. Most of the works are small, roughly and quickly made pieces known as bozzettos, in which Bernini worked out compositions and gestures of individual figures he planned to make without worrying over details. But while not spectacular, they are wonderfully deft and will be a revelation for viewers unfamiliar with Bernini's working methods. In an exhibition, a series of 10 approximately 12-inch tall clay angels is displayed on two rows of pedestals mimicking those of the Ponte Sant'Angelo, the ancient Roman bridge built around 135. They're bigger-than-life versions, each a beautiful winged youth holding an object related to the Passion of Jesus, have loftily presided there from widely spaced parapets since 1672. Like many of his projects, this one, a papal commission to restore the old bridge, was far too big for any one man to complete, and Bernini, then approaching age 70, delegated 8 of the angel sculptures to other artists who would follow designs he developed in clay models and drawings. For the 2 he would carve himself, he produced numerous variations in clay, and those here are striking for the impression of controlled spontaneity they convey. The clay itself, visibly imprinted by Bernini's fingers and variously working with sculpturing tools, seem as alive as the figures it embodies. In this sense, they seem distinctly modern in a way that Bernini's marble works do not. They call to mind sculptures from 2 centuries later by artists like Rodin, Degas, and Medardo Rosso. Some of the terracotta pieces are more fully worked, and several of those are showstoppers. The most impressive is a half-size lion standing with shoulders hunched, legs splayed, and head lowered as if to drink from a stream. Though the lion is posed in a moment of stillness, you sense in the beast's bony and sinewy anatomy a terrific potential for action. In his final marbleized form, he appears emerging from a cave to lap the waters of the Fountain of the Four Rivers, constructed in 1649-51 in the Piazza Navona in Rome. Another masterpiece is Model for the Fountain of the Moor from 1653, which represents a muscular fellow with wind-blown hair surfing an ocean wave on a giant conch shell. His arms are unfortunately broken off, but his athletic wildness is undiminished. On a spiritually higher plane, there is the 1672 model for the Blessed Ludovico Albertoni. This dying nun half reclines in her rumpled habit on a chaise, head thrown back, eyes closed, and a hand to her right breast. We gather she is experiencing ultimate, ecstatic union with the divine, though a profane-minded viewer might be distracted by an underlying erotic tenor. Considering how well-suited Clay was to the sense of animation Bernini sought, you might wonder why only 52 of his terracotta works are known. In his fascinating catalog essay, the art historian Tommaso Montanari supposes that Bernini most likely made several thousand clay models over the course of his nearly 70-year career. What a loss for today's art market. One reason so few have survived is that Bernini himself was uninterested in small sculpture. His ambition was entirely directed to the kind of awe-inspiring fusion of art and architecture that his great predecessor Michelangelo created. Bernini was famous in his time for his modeling skill. He sometimes gave demonstrations for courtly entertainment. But he never produced anything in clay as a finished work and seems to have regarded his clay models as little more than rough drafts. The taste of his time was another factor. There was a fad for small, finely worked bronzes to decorate scholarly studios, but Bernini's rough sketches did not fit that template. So no one thought to save and preserve them. Later, things began to change. Partly because Bernini had become the object of a personality cult, and partly because of a rising appreciation for the putatively soulful authenticity of the spontaneous sketch, a few collectors did save some of Bernini's clay models. What remains, nevertheless, is deeply telling, not only about Bernini, but also about modernity in general. The visual dynamism that he sought in clay and marble is of the essence in Baroque sculpture and in paintings by Caravaggio and Rubens, among others. More than just a style, though, it manifests a new kind of worldview, an immense leap from the static cosmos of the medieval mind to a new universe of constant change. It is almost too perfect metaphorically that among Bernini's greatest achievements was the design of several extravagantly theatrical fountains around Rome. He was all about turbulence and flow. And so, in our own electrified age, are we.